Because it's the only way to God. It's the only way to get to God. Because flesh has got to die. Now the problem is, I've been in some churches in my lifetime where when you fail, rather than the preacher giving you the answer, he just beats you up for failing. You need to pray more. Okay, I pray more. Oh God, help me to do this. Help me to do this, God. He's never going to answer that prayer. He's not going to help you do anything. He's already said you can't do it. If he helps you do it, he only causes the idea that you could do it with a little bit of help to become more entrenched in your life. And that whole idea is contrary to God. Now, I see it on your face. I've been there, done that. I know exactly what you're feeling. All these years. Yeah, I know, all these years. Try being 58 and looking for this answer all these years. Lord, why couldn't you have given me this answer all those years ago? Well, it was simple. I wasn't ready to listen to it. I was molested when I was 5 years old. And my mother caught this guy doing this to me, and I wasn't making any moral choices. I didn't know what that was all about. But she did what I would have probably done, and she freaked. And so in order, she screamed and yelled and ran this boy. I was 5, he was 10. Ran him out of the yard, and he was the only playmate I had. And so, you know, I'm distressed. Well, my mother's gone absolute lunatic. And now that he's finally over the fence and gone, now she's in my face, and she is just beside herself. And I probably would have been too. But I didn't hear that what we were doing was bad. I heard I was bad. I spent the next 33 years of my life trying to be as good as I could be to prove I wasn't bad. How much do you think God blessed that? And of course, it's hard to be good when you hate yourself. And I didn't like me. Because I didn't like me. I was bad. My mother said I was bad. And every little mistake only confirmed what she said. When I was trying my best and I made a mistake, that only confirmed what she said. I really was bad. See? There's no hope. But I didn't want to go to hell. I did not want to go to hell. I do not want to go to hell. Whatever he's got to do, whatever he's got to say, he's going to save me. I charged him with it. No limitations, save me. Don't hold anything back, save me. Regardless of the price, save me. Don't let me be lost. And so therefore, you know, you know how hard it is for God to save you when you hate yourself? You know how hard it is to minister to people? When the only way you have stayed saved this long is beat yourself up to do stuff? And you love others as you love yourself, and I don't like me, and I beat myself up to be saved. So what do I do with the people I'm trying to reach? Beat them up to keep them safe. You talk about sifting the crowd. It sifts the crowd. You have to come to the end. I'm going to hurry along. Put for me, please, Hebrews 4:14 on the screen. Here's how it works. Okay? Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now, King James 16:11, the double negative was proper grammar. It is not proper grammar today. Therefore, when we read it, it doesn't click with us. It's something about it just doesn't say. So the grammatical rule of the double negative is they cancel each other out and it become a positive statement. I am not changing the word of God by removing the double negative, but it makes more sense to my pea brain. Okay? We have a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now, I got to be honest with you. I spent a lot of years in the pulpit because I didn't trust me, because I didn't like me. Motivating myself through shame to try to do good, to prove I wasn't as bad as I was afraid I was. So therefore, I couldn't afford to be kind to myself when my weakness would show. And therefore, I couldn't afford to be kind to anybody else when their weakness would show. And then all of a sudden, one day I realized this wasn't the Spirit of Christ, because he is the high priest. And he not only is kind when my weaknesses show, but he is understanding and he is touched by my weaknesses. He's moved by my weaknesses. But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And the divine flesh doctrine that swept so many away in its antichrist spirit. Because if you deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you are antichrist. I don't care how many million you've got following you in whatever nation on earth. That's the spirit of Antichrist. So, tempted in all points. His flesh was tempted. See, temptation is not sin. It's yielding to temptation is sin. That means every thought I've ever had, Jesus probably had similar thoughts in his culture, in his environment. The desires I have. He had the same desires. He was a man. He faced the temptation. He did not sin. But he knows the only way he didn't sin wasn't because he was good enough not to sin. It was because the grace of God that came by Jesus Christ was in him, empowering him not to do what his flesh wanted to do. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. I walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is synonymous to saying I'm empowered by grace. Walk in the Spirit. Won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, please. So, he's touched in all points like as we are. 4:15. Hebrews. He's tempted in all points like as we are, yet he didn't sin. I have. You have. In fact, I really haven't had very many days that I didn't have a very acute conscious awareness that I needed a Savior that day. I've never gotten spiritual enough, Brother King, that I didn't need a Savior. Now, that's the goal, not to not need a Savior, but to get spiritual enough that he's saving me before I sin. He doesn't want to just save me from my sin. He wants to save me from sinning. I haven't learned how to let him do that yet. It's better. Some days I'm actually dead. Some days I resurrect me. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now in the next verse, here's the path. Here's the formula. I love formulas. Here's the formula. Let us therefore. Let us. It is our decision. It is not God's decision. It is already offered to us. It's our decision. We must make the decision. Let us come boldly. Greek word there is confidently. Not crawling, not begging, but coming as children that we are, children of God that we are, confidently. Confident means with expectations that we're not going to have to beg. This is his idea first. He's only waiting for us to give him the opportunity to do this because he cannot and will not violate my will. So let us come boldly with confidence under the throne of grace. Notice, please, the Old Testament God dwelt on a mercy seat. In the New Testament, he resides on a throne of grace. The Old Testament was the schoolmaster that brings us up unto Christ. The Old Testament was mercy, taught us mercy, showed us mercy. The New Testament is grace. But notice this, please. I can't have the grace without the mercy, because it's what it says, that we may obtain mercy. The Greek word to obtain is exactly the same Greek word in Acts 2:38, receive, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It means somebody thought of it first, made all the provision, and offered it to me, and now I must take it. Receiving the Holy Ghost is not a passive thing. It is an act of the will and of the faith that reaches out and takes what is being offered me. So it is with mercy. Mercy is offered. It's already been purchased. He's already hung on the cross. He's already suffered. His blood's already been shed. He's already died. He's already been buried. He's already been resurrected. Mercy is already provided. All I have to do to have mercy is receive it. Which we don't do very well. I was in flight training, I hurt my shoulder, and they kept me around for a year before they medically retired me. And my right shoulder blade has been paralyzed since December '68, and they had these pool jobs. They called them pool, meaning you weren't actually training, and they weren't going to let you have all the time off, so you had to show up someplace and do some busy work. So I got assigned to the investigative office at the legal office. I was at the investigative branch of the legal office at NAS Pensacola. And so, we'd sit around there. We'd show up, read the paper, drink some coffee. Or they did. I don't drink coffee. But, we'd sit around and talk. And if we had a case to investigate, we'd go do some interviews. Otherwise, we'd go home early in the afternoon. But I'm sitting there. There's one guy. Ended up being there the longest, and so I eventually was in charge of the office. This one guy came through. He was there for a while. We got talking, and he said he had been in training to be a priest. He was going to seminary to be a priest, a Catholic priest. And so when he got there, they assigned him a room, but it was called a cell, and he was issued a rope about two and a half feet long, and it had knots in it. And he was expected to get up at 4:30 every morning and take off his robe in his room, his cell, and he was supposed to beat himself on the back every morning for about 30 minutes with that rope to do penance for his sins. He said, after a couple of days, I decided I didn't like that. But the problem was they had people walk in the halls to see if they could hear the sounds of backs being beaten. He said, so after a couple of days, I started beating on the desk and crying out. He said, after a couple of weeks, then I decided, do I really want to do this for the rest of my life? He said, so that's how I'm a pilot in the Navy. That's a long way from being a priest, I promise you. But I sat there and listened to that guy. I thought to myself, you guys don't have nothing on Pentecostals. We are the professional penance doers. Because we're the slowest forgivers, especially of ourselves, there is. We make a mistake, we don't forgive very easily. You know who we don't forgive? We don't forgive ourselves very easily. So, I make a mistake. I spent years, I wouldn't even ask God for forgiveness for at least a couple weeks while I punished myself. And then after I'd sufficiently punished myself, I'd ask him to forgive me because I knew he wasn't going to punish me. I knew he was going to forgive me. But I couldn't just accept his forgiveness like that because I did wrong, I needed to be punished. And he hung on a cross to suffer for my pain. I don't feel any pain for that. I can't just let his death on the cross take care of my sin that easily. I had to join him in paying the price. Anybody here relate to that? Right. Mercy. Obtain mercy. That's why 1 John 1 doesn't apply to the sinner. You cannot apply it to the sinner. You do not get forgiven because you confess your sins if you've never been born again. But once I'm saved, the only thing I have to do to get forgiven is confess. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's too easy for us because we're Catholic apostolics that have to do penance. Thank you for smiling. That makes me feel better because I really wasn't trying to be, I was just trying to make a point, not build a monument to something here, okay? So here it says, I come boldly, by my choice, I have to come with confidence before the throne of grace, and then I receive the mercy for my sins because I can't have grace working in me until I first accept the mercy. Mercy, grace will not operate in a life that has not believed and received the forgiveness of God. Now, I'm not talking about sinner. I'm talking about the saint. That's why so few people have any real joy, because we don't really believe we're forgiven. We cannot accept forgiveness. But I did wrong. Sure, you did wrong. I shouldn't have done it. Well, of course you shouldn't have done it. I knew better. Well, of course you know better. Well, why did I do it? It's my fault. Well, of course it's your fault, but it's not your fault the way you think it's your fault. It's your fault because you were trying to do right yourself rather than letting God who lives in you do the right through you. So, we may obtain mercy and find. The word find implies a seeking for. In other words, grace is there, but I got to decide I want it and go after it if I'm going to get it. That Greek word, find, is not the same Greek word as obtain. Mercy's already been offered. All I have to do, have it, is just take what's being offered. But not so with grace, because it's a process to have grace working in my life, because I got to come to the end of myself. And he's a high priest who's touched with my infirmities, because he knows how powerful those temptations can be, because even though he didn't sin, he experienced them. And he knew how he didn't sin, so therefore the only way I'm not going to sin is if I have grace. But I'm not going to accept grace until I believe I need it. Until I'm convinced that I can't do it myself, I'm not going to pursue him for his grace. Now, I don't know why the King James translators did this, but see the words to help there? Does not that imply to you a verb, the verb to help? Well, according to my software program, the word help there in the Greek is a noun. You say, that's splitting hairs. No, it's not, because it changes everything. Because grace is not given to me to help me do it. It's not grace to help. It's grace help or grace empowerment. In other words, there's a huge difference between God helping me to do it and me not doing it all, but letting grace give me the desire and the empowerment to do it through me. That's the difference. Oh, and by the way, the promise is in time of need or in a very timely manner or exactly when it's needed. In other words, if I get out of the way and let grace do the work through me, it will always work when I need it to work to keep from sinning, or to do, not just to not do the things I shouldn't do, but the beauty of grace is it not only helps me not do the things I shouldn't do, there's your double negative, but it also helps me to do that, or does through me, the things I should be doing. That's why Paul said, the things that I would, I do not. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ my Lord. In other words, as long as I'm relying in my flesh, He wasn't speaking of his life as a sinner. He was speaking of his life, or a Jew. He was speaking of his life as a Christian. As a Christian, he could not do the things he wanted to do. And he did the things he didn't want to do until he came to the end of himself. And finally, he got delivered by Jesus Christ from his reliance upon himself. And then God did the work through him. Now, folks, I know this sounds pie in the sky. I know it does. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There is absolutely nothing the Lord expects of me that he does not do through me if I allow him to do it. Nothing. Brother Sisko said to me years ago, he said, I got to where I wouldn't pray for the sick anymore because some were I was praying for wasn't getting healed. And he said the Lord started really talking strongly to me. He said, Lord, I don't want to hinder people's faith by praying for some of them not getting healed. And he told me, the Lord said to me, if you take the blame when they don't get healed, then you're taking the credit when they do. Last time I saw Brother Barnes sitting in his office, 92 years old, he picked me up at the hotel and brought me to the church. We talked and I preached for him that night. He swore in the car. He said, you're a man of great faith, Brother Wright. And, you know, I thought, wow, that's, whoo, coming from Brother Barnes, pretty good. He said, then he just popped my balloon. He said, because you're riding in a car driven by a 92-year-old man. So he deflated whatever there was in that really quickly. And I acknowledged to him, Brother Barnes, the thought had crossed my mind. And it had. But we're sitting there, and he had his glasses on. And he pulled them off and held them out in front like this. He said, Brother Wright, you see these glasses? I said, yes, sir. He said, I've been praying 50 years that God would heal me so that I don't have to wear these. He said, do you have any idea how many people I prayed for that came back from the dead? How many blind eyes I've seen open? How many deaf ears I've seen unstopped? How many cancers I've seen? You have any idea? He said, and I'm wearing these glasses. And I said, he said, I've said to God many times, how can people believe I'm a man of faith while I'm wearing glasses? He said, this is what the Lord told me. I'm never going to heal your eyes, and you're always going to do all your ministry with glasses, because that tells people that this is not your power, it's mine. Because if it was yours, you'd use it for your own benefit. And the fact that you haven't been able to get your own eyes healed proves that everything else I do through you is me and not you. Another old prophet of God told me when I was a young preacher, he said, God is always going to leave a measure of crisis in your life every day you live. He said, because the Lord never wants you to forget how much you need him. He said, you can't pray enough. You can't fast enough to have a life free from crisis. There's always going to be some kind of pain, some kind of problem, or some kind of pressure in your life every day to remind you all of this is God and it's not you. Praise God. Praise God. You know, These epistles are so awesome until I think that these powerful things were written by a jailbird. A man in prison. I mean, the book of Acts talks about earthquakes and doors opening by themselves and angels escorting Peter out. And here's Paul. No earthquakes. No angels. No doors open of their own accords. after all those years of ministry, on several occasions, he found himself in jail long enough to write parts of the Bible. I wonder how many times that had to happen before he finally figured out, oh, I'm not in jail to suffer. The Lord wanted something written. It didn't happen the first time. It didn't happen the second time. I don't think it happened third or fourth time. I think he went through that quite a few times to finally realize, wait a minute. I'm not being punished. I'm just being separated from everything else I'm supposed to be doing because God's got some eternal things he wants to say through me. Let's pray. Now, I've got to 1 o'clock and we got 10 minutes. Let's pray. I can't say it any kinder than that. Come on. There's enough stuff been said here right now that we need to give the Holy Ghost an opportunity to just marinate it a little bit, to just let that seed work its way down in our spirits and find a lodging place that the devil can't steal out of it. No, you might not go home Sunday or Monday or next week and start studying this stuff. But somewhere down the road in your frustration, you're going to say, God, I need help. And he's going to say, go study grace. And then just you and Jesus with a concordance and a Bible or a software program, however you want to do it, you're going to get it out. You're going to start looking up every verse with the word grace in it and not trying to figure them all out, but just letting the Spirit talk to you through that. Just talk through you. And then stuff is going to start happening in your life and stuff's going to start happening through your life because that's what God wants to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, if you think you feel frustrated right now that you've spent X number of years living for God without really understanding this, think how frustrated God's been all these years, how much it's pained him to see you suffer and see you struggle when he really would want to help you and do it through you, but he wasn't able because we were still in his way. Even though we didn't understand we were in his way. Come on, Holy Ghost is in this place right now. Come on, talk to God. It's not important whether you talk out loud or not, or loud. It's not important. But what's important is you let the Spirit of God take the Word of God and work in your life right now. In the name of Jesus. 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 And for those of you that are older like me and you think it's time to retire and wind down, you hear me right now. I believe that it is older people who are going to be used of God as much, if not more, than younger people because we've been through enough to stay saved even when it gets good. A lot of young men, they're too young for God to trust it with them. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be used. But the most difficult thing God does in anybody's life is to powerfully use them and then save them after they've been used. Those of us that's got some miles on us, that's got some heartbreak, got some wounds, got some scars, we've been through enough stuff. We've come to the place, whether we put it in these exact words or not, we can't do this ourselves. So we know that when God does it, we can't take the credit because we're not going to touch his glory because he's not going to let you do that and get by with it. So we won't touch his glory. We'll give him the glory. We'll give him the glory because we'll know it's him because we've failed enough times, struggled enough times, been frustrated enough times that when it does finally start to work, we're not going to suddenly think, well, I figured it out. When it finally starts to work, we're going to say, I finally got out of the way so God could do everything he wants to do. In the name of Jesus. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in this place. The angels of God that are here to minister to them who shall be heirs of righteousness, they're here in this place. Even Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, needed the angels of God to encourage him, to strengthen him, the Greek word is literally to inspirit him in the garden after he'd been through his trial, after he'd been through his test, just before they came to take and crucify him. The angels of the Lord came and strengthened and encouraged the spirit of the man Christ Jesus to face what he was about to face for the salvation of mankind. The angels of God are in this place trying to help you, trying to help me, trying to give us courage. Come on. In the name of Jesus. 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 Come on. 7 more minutes. We're going to pray 7 more minutes. I'll relinquish the microphone at 1 o'clock, but we're going to pray 7 more minutes. Unless you're just going to get up and walk out, that's fine. But if you're going to sit here, we're going to pray because God's trying to do something. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Teach me, Lord. Open my heart, my mind, my spirit to this, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Open me up to this, Lord Jesus. Help me to receive this. Help me to see this in the spirit. Help me to believe this. Convince me, Lord, so that I'll quit working against you, so that I'll quit trying to do it myself. Help me, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, there's some folks really getting helped here right now. Come on, let's be patient. Let's wait on the Lord. There's some folks really getting help right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He loves you. Even when it doesn't feel like he loves you, he loves you. Even when you can't tell he's there, he loves you. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't failed you. He hasn't abandoned you. Yes, he's had to let us fall, not because he wanted us to fall. He had to let us suffer, not because he wants us to suffer, but because he had to bring us to the place we were able to receive this from him. What seemed to be bad or evil, he meant for good. But not just for your good, for the good of every person in your city that needs Jesus, for the good of every saint sitting out there that's going through the same thing and understands it less than you do. Oh, yes. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The cross never stops working in the body of Christ. The day Jesus hung on the cross at Calvary was only the beginning of the crucifixion for the body of Christ. It is the cross that makes us his disciples so that he can work through us. If any man will be my disciple, let him renounce ownership of himself. That's what the word deny means. Deny himself. Let him renounce ownership of himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the name of Jesus, there are no kingdoms without the cross. The religion of our world today, the Christianity of our world today, wants to tell you how to have the miracles and the blessings without the cross. That's what the devil offered Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. Come on, we're not going to fall for that temptation. We're not going to believe that lie. There is no kingdom without the cross. People can be a part of the crowd every time you get together and avoid the cross, but they'll never become a part of the saved body of Christ without the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. My. Come on, the Holy Ghost is in this place. It started here last night. Man, almost from the first note, the presence of God was manifested in this place in our midst last night. And he's just as strong here today. It's a little different move, but it's the same strength. God's trying to do something for us right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, 3 more minutes. 3 more minutes. 3 more minutes and my part's done. In the name of Jesus. Come on, don't miss what God's trying to do for you right now. Right now, right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I can't go to church like he wants me to without the grace of God doing it through me. I can't pray unless the grace of God prays through me. I can't fast unless the grace of God fasts through me. I can't love you unless the grace of God loves you through me. I can't win the lost unless the grace of God wins the lost through me. I can't worship unless the grace of God worships through me. I can't live righteous, and I can't be righteous unless the grace of God is righteous through me. I can't be holy unless the grace of God is holy through me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hatati elororo bokosha satahaya.